Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, listeners, it's a lovely morning, mashallah. The weather is perfect, I think. And this morning we commence our program with Monday morning focus. That's our slot that we normally have, and I haven't been in for quite a few Mondays now, so this is like, you know, starting all over again after a few weeks. Yes, of course, it was all the holidays, and you know, you just get out of it a little, but alhamdulillah, we're back, and inshallah, I think from now on, hopefully we'll have, I think there's still one more holiday coming, if I'm not mistaken. That's a Monday morning, one of them that'll be coming. But inshallah, when that comes, we'll sort that out. So this morning, it's Monday morning focus, and it's the ideal Muslimah. We haven't done that for a while. This morning, inshallah, we'll be focusing on a Muslim woman helps alleviate the burden of the debtor, that is the one that is owing you money. That'll be followed by our next slot, inshallah. It's once again through the eyes of a child. And today we're discussing something very interesting. It's mind moves. It's where we address barriers to learning, where the person obviously that is coming in, our guest, Sister Zarina Wajuddin, will be coming in, and she's going to be talking about this concept called mind moves. And I find it very interesting, and it would be wonderful to know what it's all about. It's all concerning barriers to learning. You know, we have children that have so many problems at school these days. So hopefully she'll be able to give us some insight as to what we as parents can actually do. Like I said, our guest will be Sister Zarina Wajuddin, inshallah. And yes, so first up is Monday morning focus. And like I said, we're doing something with regards to Muslim women helping to alleviate the burden of a debtor. Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The true Muslim woman is distinguished by the nature of her moral and her psychological makeup, and by her tolerant and her easygoing personality. Now, that's what a Muslim woman is supposed to be. She should be a person that is tolerant, and she must have an easygoing personality. I know it's difficult sometimes, but if we think about it, you know, if you feel that you don't have these qualities in you, then it is so important for us as Muslim women to try and work at it, and you know, make sure that we acquire these qualities. Work at it, try and work at it, and inshallah, you know, if we go out to want to do good, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there to guide you and to assist you. So now, with regards being able to alleviate the burden of the debtor, now if she's owed anything by her sister and her sister is in difficulty when the time comes to pay the debt, she will postpone the payment until another time, until the period of hardship is over, in obedience to the words of the Quran. Now, these are things that you'll be able to do if you have these qualities in you, if you are tolerant, and if you are easygoing, and if you do care for another person. Then, you know, if you have lent somebody money, and that person, you know, that person is in difficulty and will not be able to repay you perhaps on the day that they were supposed to, or at the time that they were supposed to pay you back. And you, you know, actually out of the goodness of your heart, you postpone the payment and you tell the person, look, okay, fine, you can't pay me now, don't worry, pay me when you can. You know, I know sometimes people do take advantage, but if you certainly know for a fact that this person is in difficulty always, think of the person that is in difficulty at this moment. They have borrowed the money from you because they know that, okay, I can get it now, but that thought of, you know, I still have to pay back this money. How am I going to pay back this money? When will I be able to pay back this money? It may have solved a problem now, but that problem is still there, because at some stage or the other, you still have to pay it back. So if you, the person that have actually given this money to the person, and you know that this person is in difficulty, and you tell the person, or you know, you postpone the payments, and you tell them, listen, don't worry, when and if you are able to pay me, then you pay me back. Can you imagine how happy you make the other person feel? And by making another person happy, by making another person feel good, and can you imagine how much of sawab you get for it? How much Allah loves you for this good deed? Well, this is what we as Muslim women should actually be able to do. And of course, also this is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And it is said in chapter 2, verse 280, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah Ta'ala says, if the debtor is in difficulty, grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. So Allah Ta'ala tells you directly here that, look, if you know that the person is in difficulty, you know, send him ultimatums. It's going to make it so difficult. What is he going to do? He's probably going to, or he, she for that matter, go to another person and borrow the money from them and then try and give it back to this person. It makes it so difficult for the people. So this is something we should always remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this. It's not we that say do this. This is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Postponing debts is a generous attitude, one that is encouraged by Islam because it brings about humane standards in one's dealing with one's brother, even if he is in debt. So what does that do? It brings out the best in you. It brings out those wonderful qualities in you. So you, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with you. And when Allah is happy with you, what else do we want? The Muslim woman who is infused with this humane attitude of postponing payment of a sister's debts is acting in obedience to the commands of Allah. What are we doing? We are doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. We are storing up righteous deeds for her year after that will save her from affliction on the day of judgment and shade her in the shade of Allah's throne on the day when there is no other shade. So what are we doing? We are, making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with us. And for this, they say, on the day of judgment, we will be in the shade of Allah's throne if you have these wonderful qualities of For example, what we're talking about here today is if you have it in you to postpone, for the person that perhaps is owing you the money, if you can tell them and you know that the person is in difficulty, if you postpone it and tell them, look, you don't have to pay it now, pay it when you can or when it is possible. So you are not putting pressure on the person. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu said, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, whoever would like Allah to save him from the mouth, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever would like Allah to save him from the hardship of the day of resurrection, let him alleviate the burden of a debtor or write off part of the debt. So even better, if you know, if you can postpone it, alhamdulillah. If you cannot postpone it, if you can even write it off completely, say, don't pay me back. Because if you can manage without it, then you actually write it off. Allah would be, there's so much for you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah would love you for this. So you will definitely be saved of the hardships of the day of resurrection. That means so many of your du'as will be, so many of your gunas, if you have any, your sins will be washed away. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever allows a debtor to postpone payment or writes off part of the debt, Allah will place him under the shade of his throne on the day of resurrection, the day when there will be no shade except his. Alhamdulillah. The true Muslim woman is able to take the matter further and rise to a higher level. So if you want to be if you want even more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if she's well off, if perhaps you are well off, alhamdulillah, you let your sister off completely. So you write off that debt completely. Now this will earn you a greater reward, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate you for letting your sister off by letting off even more, forgiving her for her errors and her shortcomings and saving her from the horror of the day of judgment. So many, many of your errors and shortcomings will be forgiven, and of course you will be saved on the day of judgment, inshallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is another hadith, there was a man who used to lend money to the people. He used to tell his employee, if you come across any debtor who is in difficulty, let him off. So if there's any people that you know that owes us money, but you know also that that person is in difficulty, then let him off. Don't, pressure him for the money. Perhaps, or in fact even, just write it off completely. Perhaps Allah will let us off. So when we meet Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let us off. So this is what this man used to always tell his employees. And another hadith, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man from amongst those who were before you was called to account on no good deeds, and were found in his records except that he, no good deeds were found in his records except that he used to have dealings with the people, and he was rich, so he used to tell his employees to let off those debtors who were in difficulties. He had no good deeds, alhamdulillah, but there was one thing that he used to always do, and that is he used to have lots of dealings with people simply because he was rich. But he always used to tell his employees, like the first hadith we shared with you earlier, he used to tell his employees to let off all those who were in difficulty, who could not pay back this money. And he said, Allah may he be glorified, said. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, we should be more generous than he, so let him off. So if you can just be generous enough, if you know that that certain person is not able to pay back that money, and you, alhamdulillah, can do without it. You have enough, alhamdulillah. You may be rich, but you may also just have enough, and you may not really need that much, that money back. And you know that the person that you have given the money to, is in difficulties. If you can let that person off, then remember Allah Ta'ala can be even more generous to us, and He will also let us off. Alhamdulillah. And another hadith, Huthaifa radiallahu anhu said that Allah brought to account one of His servants to whom He had given wealth, and He asked him, what did you do in the dunya with? We know that no one can hide a single thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, oh my Lord, you gave me wealth, and I used to trade with people, and it was my habit to be lenient. I would be easygoing with the one who could afford to pay his debt, and I would allow the one who was in difficulty to postpone payment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, well, I should be more generous than you. Let my servant off. Because of his generosity, Allah Ta'ala says, let my servant off. And Uqbah ibn Amir and Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari said they heard something very similar to this from the mouth of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, listeners, that's where I end off today, and I hope, inshallah, out there, if you have listened to the program, if you you know, if there are people out there that you have, you know, lent money to, and you know that that certain person is not capable of paying you back, that please do not pressure them. Be lenient towards them. You know, if it's possible, then write off that debt. If not, then, you know, just give them more time so that they be able to, you know, when it is possible to pay you off. So it's so important for us. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, if the debtor is in difficulty, grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. Well, I leave you with that, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to be talking to Sister Zarina Wajuddin, who is a qualified baby gym as well as a mind move instructor. Now, she'll be telling us more about that. We're going to be introducing this concept called mind move to you. It's something very interesting, and I think our listeners would certainly be you know, interested in knowing that there's so much of help available out there. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zinat, and well, this slot that we're doing now is called Through the Eyes of a Child. It's a regular slot that we normally do once a month, and today we're discussing something very interesting. But before we go on to that, I'd like to share something with you. It says, you can teach a student a lesson for a day, but if you can teach him a lesson by creating curiosity, he will continue the learning process as long as he lives. This is by Clay B. Bedford. Now, we're going to be talking about a concept called mind moves. And with me in the studio is Sister Zarina Wajuddin, who is an advanced mind move instructor as well as a counseling therapist. So, alhamdulillah, she's also a baby gym, qualified baby gym instructor. So, what we're going to do today is talk about this called mind move. And I think it's something that I would also like to know much about. I don't know much about it, and of course, didn't have much time to go over, you know, to do a lot of research with regards to it. But we have a qualified person in here that will share a lot of knowledge with us. It's called Mind Moves. But firstly, assalamu alaikum to Sister Zarina. Jazakallahu khair for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you with us in the studio.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zinat. I'm hoping that the session will be beneficial as well as very, very informative for our listeners today.
Inshallah. I think we're all going to learn quite a bit with regards to it. And it's something that we need to know because, you know, we have so many children having so much of difficulty learning. So hopefully this would help us in some way or the other, and it will give listeners insight out there that, you know, there's different ways of getting your children to learn. If the one way doesn't work, there's always a different way that you can. And every child can actually, you know, benefit to the fullest. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so mind moves. What is mind moves all about?
Okay. Mind Moves is a movement program which aims to remove barriers to learning. When we talk about barriers to learning, we are talking about poor concentration, stress, anxiety, dyslexia, ADD, ADHD, and the list can go on, Sister Zinat.
Well, of course, these are all, you know, things that are we see with our children these days. You know, many of us at home have little ones growing up, and we realize that they have this problem of sitting still. One of the things is they cannot sit still for long because, and we do realize this is going to be a problem when they start schooling because they cannot concentrate for too long then. They don't have that ability to stay focused on things for too long. So as a result, they, you know, jumping around, moving around. Would this in any way be, you know, will it be anything, does it have anything to do with mind moves?
Okay. When we move later on into the program, we'll discuss how children learn. And sitting still is very difficult for most little ones. In mind moves, we indicate and emphasize the importance of movement in terms of learning. So for little ones, it's normal and actually desirable to encourage them to move. They need to move to wire the brain, and they need to move so that the various parts of the brain can be developed. So 6 years later in school, their minds, their bodies are able to sit still and listen.
Okay. Now, there's a saying that goes, train the brain to gain. Alhamdulillah. How does mind moves fit in with this?
Okay. Training the brain to gain is a very big part of mind moves. And mind moves are fun and easy movements. Okay, the main aim of mind moves is to develop some neuromotor skills which supports balance, posture, hand-eye coordination and eye movements needed for reading. Mind moves is also very helpful to calm down when needed. Some children don't know how to allow their bodies to calm down, especially before an exam. Mind moves also aims in creating that bright, shiny eyes in the classroom that says that wonderful message to the teacher, "Madam, I am here today, I am ready, and I am ready to listen and learn." Okay? What I find nice and convenient is that these movements can be done at any time, during class, while the teacher is talking, because there are certain movements, easy movements that can be done to wake up certain parts of the brain. Some simple movements are as easy as rubbing the ears.
So basically, these are things that would be taught to the child to be able to do, you know, if they have, for them to be able to concentrate perhaps, or to, like you say, wake them up again and, you know, start concentrating.
Okay, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. It's simple movements that we teach to the children. The parents encourage them to do it. I'm also involved in training teachers at the moment. And usually if a teacher is in class and seeing that some children are daydreaming or not listening, she can encourage them to do certain mind moves to wake up the brain for learning. So it's wonderful. It's easy. There's no catch to it.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful, yes, because, you know, you do have children. And I know in the past there were many children that had this problem, concentration problem exactly, that would, you know, listen to you for a little while and before you know it, the child is in another world doing their own thing. And also the fact that there are so many children in a class, mostly, you know, and this one little child that would probably just wander off in their own little world, not even realizing that the teacher is standing there and giving a lesson, you know, and, you know, the child, unfortunately, would be left out. In other words, you know, so the rest of the class that can concentrate will continue. And this little one, it's not that they're not intelligent enough to understand what is happening. It's just that their brain just suddenly switches off from whatever is happening there in front and they in their own little world. So, alhamdulillah, you know, in those days, some, unfortunately, children were left out. You know, those little ones that couldn't follow and couldn't keep up with the class would then end up being in the class not knowing their work and, you know, they would be the problem children in the class. So, alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to know that there's something happening out there that can actually help children out there. Now, this whole concept, where did it start? Is something in South Africa, and I believe it's some Dr. Melody de Jager. Who is she, and how did this whole concept come about?
Okay, Dr. Melody de Jager is the founder of Baby Gym. Her educational background is wide and diverse, and she started out many years ago as a qualified nursery school teacher. And during this time, she picked up a strange phenomenon that irrespective of how much of effort was placed into a lesson, some children would learn and some children would phase off, as you were saying earlier. They would daydream and they would just not pay attention. And it was this phenomenon that sparked her enthusiasm to want to learn more in terms of what is it that triggers learning and at the same time, what is it that blocks learning. So now, after many years, she has founded the Mind Moves Institute. She's also the founder of the Baby Gym Institute. And her focus is on ways to engage the brain for whole brain learning.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So this is something that has been, that has developed here in South Africa.
In South Africa, yes. The institute is in Randburg, and I'm an instructor under the institute.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So who can really benefit from mind moves?
OK. Okay. There is no age limit as to how old you need to be to do the mind moves. Anyone can do it. I usually see children between the ages of 6 and 18 years. And it's usually the children who comes home with letters from school indicating that your child cannot sit still, your child cannot learn, your child is not concentrating, your child is fighting at school. And it's usually these cases that alerts the parent that something is not right. What do you do then?
So you come in and try this mind move concept that's come up. And anyway, this is not something that's just come up now. It's been around for a long time.
We're in 2016 now. Mind Moves was founded in 2005. So it has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there are few people that really know about it. So hopefully our program today would, it'll help others out there and many parents out there that have children that have problems at school. But now you said usually you see them from the age of 6 onwards. And of course this is when many parents realize that, you know what, my child do have a problem at school, perhaps cannot concentrate. But how important is it for it to, are there any symptoms that would kind of alert the parents that there is a problem and I think I should take my child and start getting them into this mind move concept, get them to go to these classes?
Are you referring to the time before they reach 6 years?
Mm.
Okay, we usually say that children and babies use their communication and movement to communicate to us. So we need to, as parents, look at our children. We need to start understanding what are they trying to communicate to us through their behavior. If your child cannot get up in the morning to go to get ready and to go somewhere, or if your child is having difficulty tying a shoelace, or if your child cannot sit upright at the table, these are all little signals that is communication for us, and we shouldn't ignore them. So basically, looking at your child's physical development would indicate to us that there might be a hiccup somewhere in the child's learning ability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are the possible causes for these behaviors that you mentioned?
Okay, there's so many causes. More common ones are probably if there was complications or difficulties during pregnancy and birth. Okay, we have a little baby skipping developmental milestones, and that is why I enjoy and love so much what I do in Baby Gym, because I see so many children now who have learning disabilities, and many of them, when I speak to the parents, they'll indicate to me that perhaps they didn't crawl or they spent some time in a walking ring. And skipping a milestone like rolling, neck control, suckling, sitting, crawling are important because every milestone is there for a specific purpose. And this purpose is to build a pathway to the brain. So if a baby has skipped a milestone, it means that a very big part of the brain has not developed and definitely would affect learning later on.
Mm-hmm. Are there any others that one should actually be looking out for?
Another common one, which many parents are not aware of, is recurring ear infections during the first year of life. In Mind Moves and Baby Gym, we educate parents that they are not only the five senses that we are familiar with, which is the sense of touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight, but they are also senses that happens inside of our bodies, and we refer to them as the inside senses. And it is this inside senses that is very closely linked to the workings of the inner ear. So if a child has had recurring ear infections, it definitely affects the inside senses, which would definitely impact on later learning.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that's very, very common, you know, ear infections, continuous ear infections. And it's important if children are continuously having ear infections that they actually should have it seen to, as soon as possible. And so many, things can be picked up from these problems. So it's complications during or before pregnancy. That's one of the causes of this behavior. You mentioned skipping any milestones. Well, you know, sometimes children do skip, especially when it comes to walking. They normally skip that crawling stage, or it's a very short space. You know, they try and they seem to, I don't know, we always feel, and sometimes we as parents actually feel proud. Oh, no, my child didn't do the crawling at all. But how important is crawling really?
Crawling is extremely important in terms of development, because crawling integrates both the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. And a very big part doesn't develop if the child doesn't crawl. Crawling also develops the hands, the shoulder muscles. It works with eye-hand coordination. You develop far near vision skills. So crawling is a very, very big one. While we are talking about it, I'd like to just emphasize to listeners today, especially the mommies who's got the little ones that are still going to crawl, please encourage your baby to crawl as long as possible. Dr. Melody always tells us a baby should crawl 50,000 times before this child is ready to start walking. Mm. And as you said, we're always proud to say, my child did this, my child did that so fast. In terms of mind moves and baby gym, we always say that faster is not better. The longer your child is in a developmental milestone, the better. So let's not rush it, because a lot of wiring in the brain is taking place during this process.
Mm. I think it's so important, you know, for us to realize that we should try and encourage the child. If for some reason the child is not wanting to crawl or not wanting to roll for that matter, we should try and encourage it. Is that so?
Yes, we definitely need to encourage it. And that is part of what I educate parents in my baby jump classes, the importance of the milestones. But we'll talk about that when I have a session on baby jump.
Yes, definitely. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we return, we will continue with this. Just a reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions or any comments, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, and the SMS or WhatsApp number is 082-8492-786. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our program Through the Eyes of a Child. And we're discussing a concept called mind moves. We have Sister Zarina Wajuddin, who is an advanced mind move instructor and counseling therapist with us. She's also a qualified baby jump instructor. And we're talking about mind move. It's addressing barriers to learning. Now, a reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions or concerns, the lines are open. Please feel free to call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, and perhaps SMS or WhatsApp us on the number 082-8492-786 with any of your comments or questions. Okay, now, let's continue. Before we do that, how important is poor diet to learning?
Okay, Sister Zina, a poor diet filled with lots of sugar and refined carbs does affect concentration and learning. I usually remind my own kids that too much of sugar is not so bad for their teeth as what it is for their brains, because it's sugar that eats up all the connections in the brain, between all the brain cells. And it definitely has a huge impact on learning.
Mm. So, you know, I think it's so important for us, you know, even if we have been doing it for all our lives, our adult lives and our young lives, you know, where we all love sweet stuff. I think it's important for us to realize how bad sugar really is for us, and we can start introducing it to our children from a very young age. In other words, introduce the no sugar, you know, try and it's amazing, the children we introduce it to our children, and they learn from what we give them. So I think it's wonderful to know, like, you know, we can actually teach our children and at the same time learn ourselves to get stop having so much of sugar. I think it's so important for us. We are the ones. Okay, we have a call online. Let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Ji, alhamdulillah.
I'm just enjoying this program.
Yes.
I'm a great art teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know, if you can just tell us, what do we do to the child's ears for his concentration?
Okay, did you get that? It's a bit, I couldn't hear very clearly.
The sister was asking what can be done in terms of the ears.
Is that it?
Yes, for the child's concentration in the class.
Okay, all right.
Then you are looking on the
eight. Okay,
jazakallah khair. I'd like to just remind the listener that called in that Mind Moves is very much involved with workshops aimed for teachers and parents in terms of Mind Moves and how or what you can do in the class to actually wake up the brain for learning. I'll just give an example of the ears. If you put your four fingers behind your ears and with your thumb move up, middle and down, basically give both your ears a nice good solid massage. I usually remind the kids, please rub your ears so that you can feel the blood flowing through them. Your ears need to be nice and hot. Don't hurt yourself, but give your ears a good, good rub. That wakes up the ears. It wakes up balance. Waking up the ears sends a message to the temporal lobe area of the brain, and this part of the brain is responsible for listening, for hearing, for memory, for critical thinking, for balance, math, and reading. So sometimes when I explain the Mind Moves, it's almost too easy, it's too simple, but it definitely works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Please advise, my 10-month-old baby just wants to stand and walk. What can I do?
My first thing would be for that listener is to please call me regarding the baby gym, because it's not too late. I'm sure your little one was battling to do tummy time, and that is why crawling now is becoming a little difficult. So just persist, and as far as you can, try not to let that big milestone fall away.
Okay, so please try and encourage your children to follow all the milestones.
All the milestones. I would tell that mom, please put your baby down, flat down on a tummy as often as they can.
Mm-hmm. And there are some children that actually don't like being on the tummy. So what do you do in that case? Just insist a little?
Many children don't like being on their tummy. My own son, he refused tummy time, but because I knew the importance of tummy time, I persisted, and he never got used to it, he never got to love it, but I persisted. We always say that without a struggle, there's no survival, so persist in the struggling, it's worth it.
Okay, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah.
Ji, and you're calling us from?
Okay, from KZN. I have a question for the presenter,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to find out if Sister Zarina does assessments for grade 10 learners.
Okay.
Okay. There is two kinds of assessments that we do. The first one would be a Mind Moves reflex assessment. For a grade 10 learner, the assessment that I would recommend for you is a Mind Dynamics profile. This profile sheds light on what makes this learner tick. Which parts of the brain are dominant? Is the learner stronger in listening, or is this learner stronger in speaking? And usually is very helpful.
Yes. I'm very concerned about what he should choose for a career and so on.
Okay.
So there's some doubt about the subjects and so on. Would that assist in him choosing his, going further in his career?
In understanding your strengths, which is evident from the Mind Dynamics profile, your child will know or understand themselves a little better, and yes, you will get definitely insight into possible career choices.
Alhamdulillah. Will I be able to contact you privately?
Yes, my details are on the website. I will give the details later on, just before we close.
If Sister Zainab can please forward a telephone number for us after the program, We'd appreciate it.
Okay, inshallah, we will. Okay, and it will be available at the radio station.
Jazakallah for such a splendid program.
Okay, jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. Okay, now let's talk a little about the difference between growth and development. Oh, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Sister Zinat, yes. Am I right?
Yes,
right. I'm phoning from Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, my grandson is about 17 months old or 18, but he is, is making sounds and saying little words. But when I compare him to the others, like grandchildren, I feel he's not talking as much as them. Could there be a problem?
Mm-hmm.
I've taken him to the ENT and he says, no, it's fine. Hearing is fine.
Okay. Usually when I get questions like this, I would ask the mums or the grandparents, has there been any difficulty during pregnancy or any complications?
No, not that I know of. Hey?
Okay. Has this child followed through all his milestones?
Yes, yes. He's just a very quiet child because he's the second child. So I think the elder one takes up more, of the attention. And the other one is about, the other one is 2.5.
Okay. My advice to you is to watch this little one's behavior. Ensure that he spends lots of time on the floor. I want him to be as active as possible. But if you still see that there's still a delay in language, then I would recommend you taking him to a speech therapist or even an occupational therapist.
Okay. Okay. No, he doesn't need to see you.
Not at 17 months.
Okay, because he's walking, he says mama and papa and, all those little words. But when I compare him to the brother or the other siblings, the cousins, then I feel he's a bit, not as responsive as the others.
As the others, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can start rubbing that little one's ears.
Okay.
Rub it 3 times a day, as often as you can. Around his ears, you just rub both his ears, and just make sure that he's active. As I said earlier, movement wires the brain. So if he's a hiccup, you need to make sure that he runs a lot, that he plays with the ball and catches.
He loves to play, and he's not quiet in the sense that he's not moving. He loves to move, play ball, and jump on the trampoline and things like that. But just not saying as much as the other one was at this point in time.
At this point in time. Every child is unique and every child develops at their own pace.
Okay.
I think what I'd suggest you do is give him a chance, but if you see that he's not progressing and you are concerned, then I would definitely recommend you checking it out.
And then you said rub the ears with any oil or anything, or just rubbing the ears?
It usually feels nicer when you have some oil on your hands.
Okay. Not any specific oil.
Not any specific oil.
Okay.
You could use cream also. Rub the ears gently, but you just rub those ears with repetition. It becomes more efficient.
Oh, and in circular motion.
In circular motion.
So, in other words, from the lobe going round and coming down again.
Basically, you rub that whole outer ear.
Okay. Thank you so much. Jazakallah. What a lovely program. Thank you.
Jazakallah. Khair, sister. Well, unfortunately, we don't have much time, but there's one very important question that I want to ask you, and I think we can end up with that almost. What advice can you actually give to parents with regards mind moves?
Okay, there was quite a bit that I still needed to say, so I'm going to have to come back.
Yes, certainly, we will definitely have another program, and we will continue with this program, inshallah. But just for now, what advice would you give to parents?
Okay, as a parent, I know that we can often read our children's behavior by looking at their performance at school or poor exam results as being naughty or being lazy or my child is too stubborn. But if we think about it for a moment, Sister Zenit, I don't think there's any child out there who's going to choose to be the one that is not going to listen or learn at school.
Mm.
Every child yearns for success. They want to be the one that knows the answers. So parents should just keep that in mind. There's a lovely poem that I'd like to leave the listeners with, and I often say this poem in all my workshops. It says, "Reason is the greatest gift of all. With reason comes understanding. With understanding comes care, and with care comes love." Try to look for the reasons for your child's behavior in poor marks. Make it an effort to see the world through their eyes, and in the end, both of you will move forward to a better place. In the end, all that you need is the will to succeed, and you need time to do it. That's all.
Yes, certainly. And just before we end, you know, what other services are offered at Mind Moves, and if anybody is interested in wanting to contact you, where shall they get hold of you, or how?
Okay, my details are on the website. Mm-hmm. I would encourage learners to go and visit the website. There's loads of free articles on learning and development, on barriers to learning. The website is www.mindmoves.co.za. And the services that we offer is we do workshops for parents, we do workshops for teachers. I do assessments on children, we do school readiness assessments, and we do study fitness courses. So there's loads of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any contact number?
Yes, my contact number is 082-940-5372.
Okay. Well, just to our listeners, inshallah, we will be having a follow-up program, inshallah, maybe in a month's time. So we will continue telling you more about what Mind Moves is all about. And inshallah, in that way, we will, of course, educate our listeners out there, share lots of information with you so that you know how you can help your child out there to do the best they can at school, inshallah. Well, thank you so much, Sarina. I know there's so much that we still wanted to talk about, but in our next program, we will continue with it.
JazakAllah for having me.
Well, that's it then from us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.